I'm going to read for you Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21 from the English Standard Version. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. May God bless the reading of His Word. Well, it's a time for another one of those popular polls that you all like. This is another one of those dog and cat polls, all right? Okay, so remind me again, how many of you are dog people? If you're a dog person, get your hands up. Okay, look around so you can see who your fellow dog people are. All right, we got that, hands down. And how many of you are cat people? Get those hands up. Oh, apparently more cat people come to second service. So I'm just noting, we didn't have too many in first service. Okay, cat people, get your hands up. Let's see that again. Look around, and I feel some friction building here with dog people and cat people, but let me phrase this a little bit differently then. Let's try this approach. How many of you would say that you are more like a dog than like a cat? Okay, some of you are still trying to figure out the question. No, just think about it. I mean, we know how dogs are. We know how cats are. How many of you would say you're more like a dog than like a cat? Hold up those hands. Let's see them. All right. Yeah, where is this going? You don't trust me, do you? Okay, hands down. And how many of you would say you're more like a cat than like a dog? Okay, and you can look around there. See those hands. Get those more like a cat hands up. All right, I need to say something here. My experience indicates that by a large margin, dogs tend to be far more submissive and obedient than cats. Right? I mean, wouldn't we agree with that? Yeah, cats tend to be stubborn and demanding. Cats will do what you want them to do only if what you want them to do happens to coincide with what they want to do. Otherwise, forget it. Now, how many of you are more like a cat than like a dog? Okay, I want you to know right off that those with your hands up may have some issues when it comes to implementing the message that we're going to be studying today. Merriam-Webster's definition of submit is to yield yourself to the authority or will of another. So we're kind of playing off on that to give you a working definition that we're going to use for submission, and it's on the screen here. As an action, submission is the yielding of your own will in order to comply with the will of another. As an action, submission is the intentional yielding of your own will in order to comply with the will of another. That's going to be our working definition for submission today and in the coming weeks as we study this particular truth. And I prefaced what you have written in your bulletin and what you see here with the phrase, as an action. Now, actions, as we know, are seldom separated from attitudes, right? We know that's true. As an attitude, I would suggest that submission is humility. That's not in your outlines. You can jot that down if you'd like. We're going to be coming back to that. But as an attitude, submission is really humility. And we know that it's possible, and I would suggest even common, to have an action of submission, but to also at the same time have an attitude of prideful defiance. Have any of you ever met a typical teenager? Okay, case in point. Have any of you ever been a typical teenager? Okay, you know what I'm talking about then. It is possible to have an action of submission while carrying an attitude of prideful defiance. Well, God's concern about having the right attitude regarding submission is made evident by the numerous references to humility that we find both Old Testament and New alike. For example, James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then it goes on, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So it's not just the action, it's the attitude God's concerned about. That He will give grace to the humble, there's your attitude. Therefore, submit, there's your action. These two are tied together. Going back to the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 66, we read this, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. God emphasizes the need for a right heart, for a right attitude, an attitude of humility. Well, in the coming weeks, we're going to be focusing on the many different applications of the principle of submission. And we're going to see that God has a plan, and it is always in our best interest to comply with His design, with His plan. And this morning is something of an overview of what God expects of you regarding submitting to His plan. And here is the submission principle in a nutshell. Next bullet, submission principle is yield your will to God's will. That's the submission principle in a nutshell. There's a lot of ways it's going to work out, but we're just talking about this is what God expects. Yield your will to God's will. Now, the topic of God's will is a very expansive subject. Indeed, I would suggest to you that the entirety of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is given to us in order for us to be able to understand what it is that God wants from us. What is God's will? So a full understanding of God's will is going to entail an in-depth study of God's Word from beginning to end. But we're going to focus specifically on the significance of Ephesians 5:21 as it relates to the authority and chain of command in which we find ourselves. That's going to be our focus over the coming weeks. Well, then it's best to establish right off the bat who the ultimate authority is. Number one, you are to submit to God. God is the ultimate authority. And you are to submit to God. Now, if you've read verse 21, you may be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Keith, Ephesians 5:21 is not about submitting to God. And I would agree. Well, it's not directly about submitting to God. It says that we are supposed to submit to one another. But the entire principle of submission is built on the foundation that God makes the rules, right? God makes the rules. God is sovereign. God is in charge. The principle of submission makes the most sense when it's understood in light of submission to God. Why should we submit to one another? Because we are submitting to God, and God makes the rules, and God says that we are to submit to one another. So it is submission to one another. Ephesians 5:21 is about submitting to God. It's about submitting to God's design for relationships. God's design for relationships in the home. It's about submitting to God's design for relationships in the church. His design for relationships in community. It's about submitting to His design for relationships on the job. And yes, I believe the Scriptures even address that. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So we start here. Submitting to God, by the way, is not a means of salvation. And it's important that we clarify that right off the bat. We are not submitting to God in hopes of earning God's favor so that He will let us into heaven. The Scriptures are very clear. That cannot be done. If you are trying to live up to a certain standard so that God will let you in, the Scriptures are clear that we are saved by grace, not by works. It is by grace and grace alone. Salvation, submission to God, I should say, is rather to be the humble response of God's mercy and grace in salvation. In other words, having accepted God's free gift of salvation by turning to faith in Jesus Christ, I now want to submit to the God who has graciously and mercifully saved me. That's the right order of things. I don't submit in hopes that I will get saved. I am rather saved, and then I submit to God's design because that's the way that God wants it. We read in Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So as we think about submission, he's speaking of a group of people here that were attempting to earn God's favor by keeping a rigid set of rules. And he says of them, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And then he goes on, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In other words, submitting to God should be the result of the fact that God has graciously saved me and brought an end to the law. I no longer live under a legalistic setup where I have to do certain things or I'm not going to earn heaven. Indeed, I never lived there because I could never earn heaven. None of us can. So we need to submit to God's law, God's word. And by the way, I need to give you a sidebar here. This is an extra. How many of you know what the term Islam means? I mean, we think of it in terms of religion, but it is an Arabic word and it has a meaning. Any of you know what the term Islam means? Way back in the back, Renee. Submission. The word Islam means submission or to submit. Now, although on the surface it may seem the equivalent to the Christian principle of submission, these two are not the same at all. And a study of the religion of Islam versus the truth of Christianity will bear that out. For the Muslim, submission is a legalistic duty that determines your worthiness to be admitted into paradise. That's what submission means to the Muslim. It is a legalistic duty. You do this in hopes of earning approval enough for you to get to paradise. And that's very contrary to the clear biblical teaching that no one is worthy or ever can be worthy by their own efforts to get to heaven. No one could ever live a righteous life sufficient to get to heaven. The Christian principle of submission, on the other hand, is based on the recognition that Christ alone provides salvation by grace. And submission, then, to God's design and relationships is what pleases God. That's what I want to do because of what God has done for me. Living according to the principle of submission is a major component of God's plan for what we would call practical sanctification, which is just another way of saying becoming like Christ. Christ has saved me by His grace. Now I will submit to Him, and in that process, God begins to work in me in order to make me more like Christ. Not make me more saved, because I'm already saved by the grace of God, but to make me more like Christ. Okay, that was just an extra. Biblical submission all starts here. Submit to God. It's not in your outlines, but that's where it starts. Submit to God. That's what we see. Point number one. You are to submit to God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive to obey Christ. So let me suggest that to submit to God is to submit to Christ. To obey God is to obey Christ. That really brings us to point number two. You are to submit to God's Word. Number two, you are to submit to God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what we read in John chapter 1. And that tells us that submitting to God's Word is submitting to Christ. Submitting to God's Word is submitting to or obeying the gospel. The gospel is the good news. What is the good news? Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's the good news. That's it in a nutshell. To submit to the gospel means I am submitting to or obeying the good news that Jesus Christ came to save me. It means that I'm letting Jesus be Lord. Now, we use the term Lord very freely and probably flippantly, but the term Lord means master. It means the one in charge. So to call Jesus Lord means I'm saying, Jesus, You are in charge of my life. That's what it means to submit to the gospel. It means to recognize that it's only through Jesus that I can have salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 says, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. Even confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord is submitting to God's design. That's what God requires of us. And indeed, we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. It should be clear here that submission, the biblical principle of submission, means that I will submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is no other way to heaven except through him. Some claim to submit to God, and yet they reject the truth of God's word, and they reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came to save us from our sins. And I would say to you that that is not submitting to God. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, according to 2 Thessalonians that we just read, with his mighty angels in flaming fire, he will inflict vengeance on such people. On which people? On those who have not submitted to the gospel. You can claim you're submitting to God, but if you haven't submitted to the gospel, you will experience the vengeance of God and the wrath of God. You must submit to God's word, for that is the expression of what it means to submit to God. If you truly submit to God, you will submit to God's word. Well, as we move into the rest of the applications of the submission principle in our outlines today, we will also move into areas that inevitably raise the what about questions. Well, what about? I understand that. In future weeks, we're going to be dealing with some of those what about questions, but not this morning. I just give you this as fair warning. Instead, today, I'm merely going to give you an overview of the specific applications of the submission principle spelled out in the Bible. And because you are to submit to God's word, then each of these directives that we're going to look at today from God are directives for you to follow. Whatever reluctance you may feel about obeying these instructions will never justify ignoring them. And I know that some of the things we're going to touch on today and then study more in depth in future weeks, some of you are going to feel a great reluctance, but it does not justify ignoring them. You may be uncomfortable with what God says, or you may be unclear with what God means, but again, you must humble yourself before God with a desire to be submissive and obedient to his will, lest you find yourself opposing God. So let's move into the next one. Number three, you are to submit to your elders. You are to submit to your elders. 1 Peter 5:5 says it this way, "You who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." Now, elders in some cases means spiritual leaders, but in this context, the meaning is clearly simply those who are older, those who are from older generations. And so that means all of us are going to be thinking about submitting to our parents' generation and our grandparents' generation. That's what we're talking about here. That's the meaning. Submit to your elders. And whether or not you agree with them is not the point. That's beside the point. To use a common colloquialism that I think all of us can relate to, the bottom line here is show some respect. That's what we're talking about. The scriptures are telling us that when we submit to our elders, we are showing respect the way God wants us to show respect. And that's a principle that has largely gone out the window, especially in our culture this day and age. And so we're going to be addressing that. Show some respect. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, Ephesians 5:21 says. Well, this is one of those applications. Submitting to one another means submitting to your elders. Number four, you are to submit to your spiritual leaders, sometimes referred to as elders, but there's other ways to look at this. Hebrews 13:17 says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them." And in that particular context, you can study and you can say he's talking about spiritual leaders. So you are to submit to your spiritual leaders. God instructs you to be submissive to those who are in spiritual leadership. And he even goes so far as to use the term here in Hebrews 13:17, obey, indicating a weightier role of authority in this relationship. We're going to get into this later, but there's submit and there's obey, and obey is at a higher level. And so we are told, obey your leaders and submit to them. And even though it feels a little self-serving, for the sake of explanation, we just need to point out right here, that means that when your pastor tells you this is what the Scriptures say and this is what you ought to do, your response needs to be obedience. Because I'm sharing with you what God says. And that's going to go for pastors, for elders, for deacons, for those who are in leadership over you who take the role of teaching to you the Word of God or explaining to you the Word of God. These are spiritual leaders. You are to submit to them. Number five, husbands, fathers are to submit to God's will regarding family leadership. So guys, I'm talking to you now. Husbands, fathers are to submit to God's will regarding family leadership. So men, God has issued you some commands that carry the highest level of responsibility. You are responsible for this. Our context of Ephesians 5, we jump over to verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now that's a heavy burden to carry. And yet it is exactly what God says. And we're going to be coming back and breaking that down. You are to submit to God's command that you love your wife as Christ loved the church. This is God's design for family relationships. Men, you are responsible for that. You're also responsible as a father. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So as fathers, you guys are to submit to God's command to direct and oversee the raising of your children in a way that leads them to become godly Christians. That is your responsibility. And yes, I acknowledge everyone has their own choices in life. You can't force your children to become Christians. But as we're going to be looking at when we come back to this particular passage, you have a responsibility to direct and oversee their raising in order to bring them to the point of submitting to God and becoming productive, godly Christian men and women. That's your job. Number six, wives are to submit to your husband. Wives are to submit to your husband. Now, ladies, many view the teachings of Ephesians 5:22 and following as nothing short of cruel and unusual punishment. And I've heard this often throughout my years. Wives, submit to your own husbands, verse 22 says, as to the Lord. This particular command has been so widely misinterpreted, misunderstood, and misapplied that many consider it irrelevant to their lives today. And I want to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. It is critical that you understand this principle and that you abide by it. God's design for marriage includes the submission principle. And I know what's going on, that right now, many of you are thinking, well, what about? I know that. I told you, we're not answering those questions today. We're coming back to them. So turn in next week, same time, same channel, and we'll come back to this one, all right? And by the way, I need to add this too, because of how common this is in our culture today. You need to know that living together outside of marriage does not excuse you from the clear instructions of Scripture regarding a relationship between a husband and a wife. As a matter of fact, living together outside of marriage in any attempt to escape the responsibilities and obligations thereof just further reinforces your sinful determination to disobey God's design. So don't go there. That is a sinful, wrong thing to do. Submit to God's design. Number 7, children are to submit to your parents. Children are to submit to your parents. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents. Now this one seems like a no-brainer if you're a parent. If you're a child, you may be thinking about the whatabouts. Yeah, but what about? And I just state right now that God repeatedly and emphatically commands children to obey their parents. And note the use of this word, obey. Not just submit, even though we see that, but obey. Submitting to parental authority is essential. Young people, you have to submit to parental authority. We'll deal with the whatabouts later, but you need to understand that right now. This is God's will. And for those of you who are thinking that this doesn't apply to your situation because your parents are losers, well, I got news for you. There are no perfect parents. We're all losers, and you'll be a loser when you're a parent. A loser in the sense that we are all sinners that can only be saved by the grace of God. And even that salvation does not immediately deliver us from our sinful tendencies and our sinful thoughts. So we will struggle with that our whole lives. Well, we're going to come back to all that. I just want you to understand that God commands you to submit and to obey. And speaking of imperfect authority figures, number 8, you are to submit to civic leaders. You are to submit to civic leaders. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 says, be submissive to rulers and authorities. And this specifically is talking about those who are in governmental civil positions. Now, rural Nevada has developed a reputation as a place where people come who don't want to be bothered by bureaucrats. Do I hear an amen out there? All right, yeah. We tend to be, somewhat libertarian in nature out here, by and large, not all of us, but by and large. We love our liberty, and we don't like Washington swamp rats. I mean, let's just be honest. We need to state it like it is so that we can finally deal with it. Well, as Christians, we got to keep in mind that we have to be submissive to civic leaders. And Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. So it's crystal clear there that every person includes you and me. It includes those in rural Nevada or rural Idaho or wherever it may be. It includes everybody. We are the every persons that are supposed to submit to governing authorities. The word be subject to simply means submit to. That's what this word is all about. We're going to come back to that. Number 9, you are to submit to other authority figures. So let's do a catch-all here just to make sure we haven't missed anything. You are to submit to other authority figures, because some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Keith didn't address this one, so I'm off the hook. No, you're not. Let's get back to the Word of God and see what it says. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 6:5, we read this, bondservants, obey your earthly masters. Now, many of us don't even know what a bondservant is, but perhaps in your translation it says slaves, and you're thinking, oh, well, I know what a slave is, and I'm not one, so it doesn't apply to me. But as we'll review later in this series, first century slavery in general was not at all like the slavery of 19th century America. It was very different. We're going to come back to that. But first century slavery is more like being bound to a job until your debts were paid, which is essentially where most people find ourselves today, isn't it? I mean, you work because you got to pay your bills. If you didn't have to pay your bills, well, I'm not going into there. We got better things to do with our time. So what? We're bound to this particular job so that we can pay our bills. Well, it's appropriate to apply the submission principle to an employee's relationship to his employer. And there's some qualifications which we'll get to, but right now, the instruction would simply be this. Employee, submit to your employer. Employee, submit to your boss. Submit to your supervisor. Submit to your manager, etc. There is a level of submission that God expects from us, and we've got to work that out in terms of the biblical principle of submission and the other things that have an impact on that. This principle would also be in place in a military context, in which case the command would be something like, "Private, submit to your sergeant." All of us are well aware that in a military context, there has to be a chain of command and there has to be a clear order of those who submit to the leaders over them and are expected to follow those orders. Well, that's a biblical principle, folks. It's the submission principle, and it's spelled out to us here in Scripture. It applies to the student-teacher relationship. You kids thought I was finished with you. I'm not. It applies to the student-teacher relationship. When you are in a position of a student and a teacher is over you, it would simply mean, students, submit to your teachers. Submit to your professors. Submit to the staff of the school. This is a biblical principle that applies to you as well. Now, here in the land of the free, we often bristle at the thought that someone can tell us what to do. But the principle of submission, I would say to you, is not the evil plan of some sort of a human control freak. Rather, it is the benevolent design of a good God. That's why God gives instructions, not just to those who have to submit, but also to those who are in positions of authority, which brings us to number 10. You who are in authority are to submit to God's design. You who are in authority are to submit to God's design for authority. You're in a position of authority over your family, you're to submit to God's design. You're in a position of authority over an employee, you're to submit to God's design for that submission. We need to submit to God's design. And this actually takes us full circle back to the starting point. We looked at this when we were studying point one a few moments ago. The starting point of biblical submission is submit to God. Submit to Christ. That's the starting point. And so here we've looked at all these different things and we come back to, now you who are in a position of authority, you still have to submit to God. You still have to submit to God's design for relationships. So whatever authority anyone may have, you need to recognize that it has been delegated to you by God, as we're going to see throughout this series. Because it is a delegated authority, those who exercise it will have to give an account for how they handled their authority. Whatever authority you have has been delegated to you by God, and you will answer for how you handled that authority. God has a plan for you regarding the authority that He has delegated to you, and it is always in your best interest to comply with His design. Therefore, submit to God's design for authority. Well, the idea of yielding your will to the will of another is not natural. The natural self wants to be in charge. The natural self wants to call the shots. The natural self wants to be self-directed. Unfortunately, the end result is undesirable. As we see in conclusion, Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Our natural inclinations will lead us away from God, not to God. But let me conclude with this encouraging comment here this morning. Properly understood and applied, submission is a blessing. That's where we're going with this whole series. Properly understood and applied, submission is a blessing. It's not a curse. It's not an unjust, unreasonable burden. It is a blessing. So join me in the coming weeks as we work through the submission principle so that you can discover how God will bless you as you yield your will to Him and to His design. As our servers come to the front for communion, let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for encouraging us today with regards to this principle of submission. And I know already many of us may be a little uncomfortable thinking about where this is going to end up and what implications that's going to have. Lord, help us to keep in mind that all of this is intended to be a blessing, and that as we find ourselves complying with Your design, we will be blessed even under adverse circumstances. So Lord, open our eyes to truth. And I pray that if there's anyone here today who has never received Christ as Lord, that they might know that the first step is to submit to You. It's to obey the gospel. It's to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to You except through Him. May this be the day of salvation for some. And for the rest of us, Lord, let us come away from here with a renewed desire to understand how the principle of submission plays out in our daily lives. and to do that for your glory. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you because of Jesus Christ. And indeed, as we come to the Lord's Supper, to this table, we do so recognizing that it's only because of his broken body and shed blood that we have a relationship with you. And we commemorate that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.